The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Monday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin in for Gil Alexander. Just one more day. Don't worry about it. He'll be back in here tomorrow. Be right in this very seat. I know you're probably disappointed to get me, but it's only one more day, Kelly Bidlin.
One more day.
Just one more day, Gil, back in the seat here. We're going to talk to Jonathan Von Tobel a little bit later, talk some NBA with him. Jake Hahn coming in. A little bit of ice soccer with Jake Hahn. Love talking to Jake Hahn about the hockey with everything. A start of the show, tip of the cap here to Peter King. Kelly, his final Monday morning quarterback this morning.
Yeah.
Long career coming to an end. Retirement. Definitely deserved for Peter King. So tip of the cap to him, a guy that, you know, listen, it was one of those things that he kind of changed the way it was. You know, he would go in and the insider stuff and having the recaps every single Monday. And I know that that became a lot of people's shtick along the way, but it, you know, they followed in the path of a guy like him. And so well-deserved retirement to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible work he's done in the business through his entire career. It's just, one of the legends, right, man?
Yeah, like absolute legend. Hall of Famer, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And it's everybody who does work like we do, tip of the cap, like you said, man.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into a little bit of what happened yesterday, because some of this stuff could carry over and impact how we look at things moving forward, specifically over there in the NBA. And Kelly, whenever we're looking at how some of these games broke down yesterday, you see the Bucks come out and handle up on the Sixers. Yes, the Sixers don't have Embiid, but they've been playing pretty well without him. But instead, this was a massive 21-point win for the Bucks. And, you know, the Bucks, I think at this point, you're looking at this team and you say, like, all right, they kind of were up and down all year long. Were they really going to put it together? Was this really going to be a team that could contend for the title? And I think what we've seen here over the last couple of games, very small sample size, but we do see this Bucks team that we see what the potential is for this Bucks team. And we see that this is a team that definitely 100%, no matter what you thought of them all year long, it is a team that can compete when it comes down to it.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I think this is what this is exactly what they needed, right? This was the you're trying to temper everybody's expectations and try to get everybody be patient a little bit with Doc coming in. But it's very similar to me of always what happened with James Harden and the Clippers. I mean, he joined him on a road trip, to, you know, when he signed on. And I know that he doesn't have, Doc's not going to have the same impact that James Harden is going to have on a team. But when you're trying to come in, you're bringing in a guy to massively change things because something's gone horribly wrong through the start of the season. No matter what we think about Doc Rivers, the guy still has a ton of coaching experience, and this stuff takes time. And Matt, I just view it as they needed the All-Star break. You finally are able to like get home, get some practices under your belt together. And now I think this is the period where it's fair to start judging what this Milwaukee team is going to be once they get in the playoffs over these next few weeks. This is when they need to put their foot on the gas pedal. That's two great wins to start out of the All-Star break. Let's see what they can do. I'm definitely not counting them out as a big threat in the Eastern Conference.
That brought them to 500 on the road for the season, 14-14 away from Milwaukee. Giannis goes 30, 12 boards and assists shy of a triple-double. 9 assists for him, 24 from Lillard, 20 from Beasley, and then Portis chips in 17 off the bench. And you kind of start to put together in your head what this team could possibly be, what this team could look like, what a night of a good game could look like. And I think what you saw last night is the typical, okay, the Bucks had a great performance, the Bucks looked really good. This is kind of the box score you're going to look in and see, in my personal opinion.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, except for one notable name missing too, right? I mean, Chris Middleton will be back here shortly, and that's going to be, you know, it's great to have the addition of Damian Lillard, but I mean, every time we've seen the Bucks have success, we've seen Chris Middleton be a huge part of it. I think that's going to be one thing that you're going to, it's going to be dependent on him looking good as they run head into the playoffs, that defense get a little bit better. If all those things start to click though, man, I mean, watch out, because outside of the Boston Celtics, this Eastern Conference is wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. We look over at the Mavericks, who were on a nice run. You go out and you get 29 from Kyrie, you get 33 from Luka, and you're thinking you're probably going to win the game if you get 33 and 29, and instead you end up losing by 20 points to the Pacers because you give up 133. Now, they have been playing a little bit better defense of late, but in this one, the Pacers come out, really put it on them, 133 points given up by this Mavs team. And if there's anything you want to do to poke a hole in this Mavs team, Kelly, it would be the defense, right? Because you know you have two of the most prolific scorers in the NBA on the court at the same time in any given night. They did last night, can go for 60. They can go for 70 combined between those two. The problem is can they keep the other team from putting it in the basket almost at will? And they could not do it yesterday.
Yeah, and that is something we've seen, you know, kind of shift since the trade deadline is their defense has been better. I was on the Mavs yesterday. It felt like the whole world was. And yeah, ran into a buzzsaw. That defense kind of looking like the defense of old yesterday. And the Pacers getting a lot of easy points. Miles Turner with a really easy 30-point game, filling it up there against the Mavericks. And look, they're going to be an interesting team to track here. It was, you know, as we lead into the MVP conversation, it is a team that, you know, a couple weeks ago, it was, I can't really consider Luka Doncic until this team starts winning, and they've been winning, you know, over the past couple weeks. So he's becoming a lot more real in that conversation.
We go in, the Nuggets and the Warriors went off with just a 1-point spread in that game. The Nuggets go on the road, win that game handily by 16 points on a monster game by Nikola Jokic. If you look, 32 points, 16 boards, 16 assists, 4 steals, throw in a block as well. And by the way, he only turned the ball over 2 times.
Yeah, it's not bad.
In that game, just an absolute monster of a game. And oh, by the way, Murray chips in 27 on the side to get this team. Again, like, I know people have been kind of mad with the way the Nuggets season has gone, Kelly. It seems like they were sleepwalking. It's kind of like, were they having this championship hangover? But you watch and you see what Jokic does, and you see Murray chip in the 27 on top of that, and then you get the 17 from Gordon, and you start to realize, like, okay, maybe they were sleepwalking a tad, and maybe there was at least a minimal amount of a hangover here, but they are definitely every bit the contender that we thought that they were going to be heading into this season, and should be one of the favorites to win it all, because when you have those guys out there on the court, games like this happen a lot. Yeah. Not the 32-16-16, but we know Jokic is good for a triple-double anytime he steps on the court. They are every bit the contender, and I get it if you were lukewarm on them because of what you saw throughout the middle of the season. But, you know, listen, I think that they probably were, I think it's fair to say, they probably were a little bit complacent. They probably were a little bit sleepwalking, and it is what it is now because we're heading down the stretch and you see a game last night and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's that Nuggets.
Yeah, I also don't think I'd be shocked. I think the Clippers, you could say this about too. I don't think we should be shocked if down the stretch, like they, you know, maybe Jokic takes off a game or two. Yeah, I mean, what's the most crucial for Denver and LA, the Clippers, being is that you're entering the playoffs healthy, and because they are going to have a top four seed. You're not have to worry about them falling back into the play-in. So I do think that anytime we see, okay, a slight grab at the hamstring or something like that, could that mean a missed game for Nikola Jokic when it normally wouldn't? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think that's a good possibility with the Clippers, too, given their injury history. We saw Paul George sit last night for the Clippers. So I think that's something. Don't freak out if these teams maybe don't end the regular season as strong as what they've looked like over the past couple months. I think over these next few weeks, this is where these teams can really, really start clicking and try to capture that one seed and separate themselves from the pack that's built at the top there.
We know that it is a reactionary market. All of these awards markets are reactionary, and so you get a massive game out of Jokic. What do? You wake up this morning to him being a -160 favorite to win the MVP, SGA at +250, Luka at +650, everybody else 14-1 or longer. We talked a little bit about Jokic when I was in here a couple of weeks ago, Kelly, and saying, you know, he probably should be the front runner. And unless something really happens as far as him, like I said, taking significant time off or whatever, he's probably the guy to get this thing here. SGA is putting up you cannot complain at all about what SGA is doing. It's unbelievable what he's doing when he steps out on the court. But then you just see how every phase of the game can be impacted by Jokic. You know, again, 16 boards, 16 assists to go along with the 32 points. Oh, by the way, 4 steals chipped in as well. And you just realize the odds were probably appropriate, and they probably still are appropriate here.
Yeah, this is, Matt, I think we might end up seeing a all-time MVP race here. I think these four guys are all live. I think they all have a path. When you talk about Nikola Jokic, SGA, Giannis, and Luka, I think there is absolutely reality where the Bucks, if they start playing well and racking up wins, get back in that two seed in the Eastern Conference, yeah, people are going to look around at what Giannis is doing stat-wise this season. He could be jumped up into that conversation. We see Luka Doncic, how his odds have moved as this Mavericks team has won. And this is, you know, I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. And it was my hesitation on Jokic and Doncic was, okay, Jokic hasn't had as great of a season as he's had in years past. But then you look at what he's done. I mean, just these three games out of the All-Star break, 21 points, 19 rebounds, 15 assists against the Wizards, 29 points, 15 rebounds, 14 assists against Portland, 32 points, 16 and 16, like you said last night, against Golden State. Okay, it's really hard to argue against a guy right. that keeps doing that yeah. over and over again.
You can justify the odds movement anyway.
You can. And then Luka, you know, always my question, is this team going to win? Is this team going to win enough? But now all they've been doing is winning, take out of that game from yesterday. So I really think this has turned into a four-horse race. I think it's going to be pretty live to the end. I think SGA is right there in the conversation, though. I really do.
I do, too. And you look at, is there any reason to believe that it's because he plays in Oklahoma City? I mean, like, there has to be some of that, right? I mean,
as far as what? Like, we're just, not the big national market, just, so he's like, not going to get the love?
Like, we in the bubble make the case for SGA, and we're the ones beating the table and all the, like, you don't hear that a ton from anybody else, yeah. you know, and you certainly don't hear from the general public. I mean, you could go ask a basketball fan, by the way, who do you think the top three guys in the MVP betting market are? They might tell you Jokic. They might tell you Giannis. They might tell you Luka. SGA would be the guy that got left out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You're probably not wrong. That makes me sad. I hope at the end of the day, though, the voters that vote on this war to look at what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had to work with this season and how far he brought this team and the case he's making to win this war.
Let's look at some other news that happened over the weekend, and the Clippers unveiled a new logo. Do you like it? Well, we're going to find out when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We here at VSiN want to get you ready for yet another betting season, and that is baseball coming up. You know, spring training is already happening, and we want to get you ready for all of the bets you're going to make for the boys of summer. VSiN.com/guide. You can download for free our baseball betting primer. Go in, get some World Series future analysis, how to bet on spring training if you want to get in on all that, you degenerates out there, and sabermetrics for the MLB betting season as well. It is absolutely free. VSiN.com/guide for the baseball betting primer. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin in here for Gil Alexander for just another day. Head on over to my Twitter account. Did you retweet it?
I got distracted by the story. You're right. I'm retweeting it right now.
Teased it on the way out, but the Clippers are going to unveil a new logo as they move into their new arena. And so with that, people are giving their opinion on this. So I asked for yay or nay. You retweeted the wrong thing. It's fine. Whatever. Trying to get people's opinion on whether they like it or not. And you just
wrapped up in the story.
All you did was just the article.
I retweeted it too.
But go in, take a look. Let us know. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Listen, before you just off the cuff opinion, click on the logo itself and you can read the explanation as to why all the stuff is there. And we came around on it.
We didn't
hate it to begin with. But then once you read why everything is where it is, you're kind of like, oh, that's actually a clever logo.
Well, my initial reaction was it feels like a seal that you wear on your jacket for your local yacht club, you know, that you're going to, because that's what it looks like a little bit, to be honest. But yeah, once you read the description, I'm with you. I didn't really know about the deep history of the Clippers.
So there you go.
And now I know a little bit more, and the logo reflects it. So I think it's good. The uniforms are not much of a change. So it's a clean, simple color scheme. I like the look.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so one more thing in the NBA before we move on here, Kelly. Trae Young out for at least 4 weeks with a torn ligament in his pinky finger. He was averaging 26 points and 11 assists per game. The Hawks are currently in the last play-in spot in the East and are going to be without Trae Young for at least a month. This does not bode well for this team probably holding on here.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I still think they make it.
But as I was going to say, but then the question becomes, then who makes it if they don't?
I think they still make it. I think they still make it in. I mean, the one team that I think you've seen play a little bit better here, and I'm not going to be surprised, but I'm talking teams below the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference standings, which there are only five of them. I think there's one team that has been playing better that if there were more games left, I would say watch out for. And that's the Charlotte Hornets, but they're a full 10 games back behind where Atlanta is. So with like 27-ish games left, it's hard to I think that would be pretty massive if they fell out of that spot.
We should say, though, I mean, the Nets are currently on a four-game skid and 2-8 in their last 10. If they had not played like absolute garbage, they would be right on the Hawks' tail here. It's just they have not played very well the last 10 games.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on with that organization.
Yeah.
I mean, did Kevin Durant and Kyrie and those guys screw that thing up. I think they tried to do the best they could. They've got a lot of pieces now that are valuable contracts. That's what we want to say, but none of them have really been able to come together as basketball players.
Cody Bellinger, three-year, $80 million deal to return to the Cubs. Now, if you read into the deal a little bit further, it's actually a year-to-year-to-year thing. So it's really just a one-year deal, and then they'll just kind of like it tacked onto another one-year deal. It's tacked onto another one-year deal. So not the haul that Cody Bellinger and company were thinking he was going to get. They really wanted that multi-year deal, and honestly, the Cubs can get out of this thing after a year. Baseball is kind of weird when it comes to this whole free agent
thing.
There's
like a team option after every year?
Team option after every year. After for the second year and third year. And then, you know, baseball's just weird when it comes to this because big name free agents linger into spring training. I mean, we're into, you know, a week now into spring training.
Yeah, this is bizarre.
Yeah, we're a week now into spring training. Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman, J.D. Martinez, Brandon Belt, Mike Clevenger, Tommy Pham, all without teams right now.
Like, what's a Cy Young winner?
All without teams right now. So it's one of those things where, like, they're rolling the dice. You know, Scott Boras is the agent I know of a couple of these dudes, and we know he likes to play the hard line thing. He's Cody Bellinger's agent. Didn't work out, you know, again, didn't work out. So we'll see what happens for some of these dudes. But it's just weird because this doesn't happen in any other sport where it's like, you might have one guy lingering as training camp starts in the NFL. You might have it, actually in the NBA, everyone's signed. Like there's no big name free agents that aren't signed by the time we get going. So in baseball, to have this many guys like still lingering out there is just weird. You sit there and you're like, wait. Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery look like front end starters, and they don't have a team to play. You know, there's still certainly some something left in the tank for Matt Chapman and J.D. Martinez, Brandon Belt, and all these guys. So interesting that we will still have stuff to talk about as we move forward with where they're going to end up playing.
Has that been trending that way, Matt? Like the past couple of years? Because like, this was the first year where when someone brought up to me Blake Snell like 3 weeks ago still isn't signing, I'm like, Blake Snell, did he just win a Cy Young Award last year? What do you mean he's not signed anywhere?
He did, in fact, win a Cy Young.
Like, has this been coming, or is this just this year, like an odd year?
The last couple of years, there's been some of these big-name dudes that have lingered into camp, but, like, typically your Cy Young Award winner would be getting kind of that multi-year contract that I guess he's going after, but I don't listen. Like I said, Boras is this guy that's notorious for playing hardball with these teams, and most of the time he wins, but it seems like this Bellinger deal was kind of a loss because, like I said, it wasn't really a multi-year deal. It's a team option deal for the next couple of years, and so I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. I just can't believe that we still have all these guys that are still ridiculously that are still available out there. And with all that,
while we're on the topic, have you made any baseball futures bets so far? We didn't really talk about that when you were in.
Yeah, I got some baseball futures in. I played over on the Royals for season wins.
Okay,
73.5. If you go in there, one, the AL Central is just a division that is ridiculously easy, right? I mean, it's just a really, really good, really, really good spot for a team to kind of come out of nowhere. You got the Guardians, White Sox, Tigers, and Twins. Only if you look at all the projection systems out there, only one of the teams is projected to be over 500, which is the Guardians, and that's only two games over 500. So, like, it could literally be up for grabs for anybody out there. their front end of the rotation, yeah, it's not like super sexy. Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo get signed. What can you get from Cole Reagans this year, which you saw once he got traded to the Royals, really, really started to play really well. I mean, I know the Rangers little experiment with him didn't work out after all those injuries. You have a legit superstar in Bobby Witt Jr. Salvador Perez is one of the best hitting catchers in all of baseball. Vinny Pascitano is a guy that had a bunch of hype heading into last season. He was living up to it and then got hurt. And so we'll see if he can come back from that. And you just have to rely on a bunch of young guys that are all 25 or younger, but do have at least major league experience. Mikel Garcia, Michael Massey, MJ Melendez, Nelson Velasquez, all these guys are 25 or younger that if they can, you know, come about, I think that that's something. You know, I talked a little bit about Ronald Acuna for MVP. I did tuck I did tuck that into the account as well. And it's one of those things where, guys, listen, again, not a sexy bet, but plus 550, you go, you tuck it away, Kelly. You forget about it, and at the end of the season, so long as he doesn't suffer some sort of major injury that keeps him out of play for a long time, he's going to be right there, and you're probably going to be cashing a ticket again. He hit 337, 41 bombs, 106 RBI. He scored 149 runs. He stole 73 bases and did this while striking out only 11.4%. of the time. And like, let's talk about other really good hitters, right? Mookie Betts struck out 15.4% of the time. Freddie Freeman, 16.6% of the time. Everybody talks about how ridiculously disciplined Juan Soto is at the plate and how good he is. Juan Soto struck out 18.3% of the time. Like, it's just, it's insane that this guy puts up these numbers while also only striking out 11% of the time when he steps in there. So again, it's 550. So long as he doesn't suffer some sort of injury, he's going to be right there again. And so I just tucked it in there. I'll forget about it. We'll look at it whenever the end of the season rolls.
And he is plus 150 to lead the majors in stolen bases.
Yeah, I mean, it's just absurd. I know.
Plus 850 to lead in hits, only behind Arias at plus 750. Some of these player totals have come out. Have been interesting to look at.
I put in a Corbin Burns Cy Young in the AL as well. The move to the Orioles, in my opinion, is neutral because it's a better pitcher's park, but then obviously it's a tougher division. So it's, you know, I think it's a neutral move, but he had a down year. And if you're watching the video stream, air quote down year for this,
we've done that the first two segments
with like he had a 3.39 ERA, a 25.5% K rate, an 8.4% walk rate and 12.2% swinging strikes. Like for him, that's a down year because the previous two seasons he had a 30.5 K rate last year, but the year before that he had a 35.5% K rate. His walk rate ticked up last year. If he gets that back down to normal, then also his swinging strikes will go back up again a little bit. And so for me, Corbin Burns moving over to a team where he's going to get, it shouldn't matter, but playing for the Orioles, he'll get his wins. It's a good team. They're going to get wins. So when people are looking at that type of stuff to go along with it as well. So I did tuck in a Corbin Burns as well.
I like it. I like it. DraftKings putting more markets up every single day. I haven't seen these ones before, Matt. How about doubles and triples leader?
You got that one too.
Doubles leaders is up there. Freddie Freeman plus 450.
I mean, what? Like I'm saying, we're just sitting here looking at just how ridiculously good all this is. It's unbelievable. Let's talk some NBA with our very own Jonathan Von Tobel when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, do you lack a VSiN Pro subscription? Well, we are going to let you come in for an entire year, an annual subscription for just $199. You know what you get with all that. You get the best bets and the betting splits, and you get all the betting guides that we do over on the site, including all of the other articles for all the other sports. We're talking hockey over there. We're talking horse racing. We're talking golf. We're talking everything over at VSiN.com. So go in VSiN.com/subscribe with the promo code ANG to get an entire year for just $199. Matt Brown in for Gil for one more day. Kelly Bidlin here on the desk as well. And I can't wait to ask the first question here to our very own Jonathan Von Tobel, who certainly has looked and scrutinized this logo that is going to be debuting for the Clippers next season. Yay or nay, JVT?
Oh, yay.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Me too. I like it.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, it goes back to the roots of the Clippers and why they're called the Clippers for many people who don't really know why. You know, the current logo, which Kelly has seen me rock. I have a fitted of the current logo, which is like the L and the C, and it looks all crappy and whatnot. It's way better than what they've got currently. And you go back to the red unis, which has been sorely missed. So, yeah, no, I'm in.
And I'll tell you this, before you make your opinion out there, I want everyone to click on the logo and then read as to why all the stuff is in the logo and where it is. And it will make you like it, even if you think you don't like it, because you're like, Kelly, by the way, they put the N in Los Angeles at the very top of the logo because it's pointing north. Like, I mean, all these little things like that.
I never knew how much work went into these things. Like, even like the VGK like logo, like it took me a long time to see like the V, I think it like the V in the helmet. Like, it's a lot of masterful design, all with a purpose. All with a purpose.
All right, JVT, what did we learn yesterday in the NBA? Let's start with the Bucks and the Sixers. You see them go out and win convincingly. Sure, it is no Embiid there for the Sixers, but they've been playing well even without him, and there's been a ton of question marks around this Bucks team.
Yeah, I think for the 76ers, it's a team that's just kind of challenged, right, without Joel Embiid out there. And especially with the new look roster, one of the things that I've kind of pointed out, and, you know, I had the Bucks yesterday in the write-up and talked about it a little bit at length, which is, you know, they're not a very good rebounding team without Joel Embiid out there. They're a very poor perimeter defensive team because now if you look at it, now that Patrick Beverley's gone, you've got these guys who are just not really dominant on-ball defenders. And so Embiid's out there to help carry the weight on offense. All of a sudden, you got a team that really just struggles in multiple facets. And sure enough, yesterday, offensive rating of 125 and non-garbage time for the Milwaukee Bucks, an offensive rating of 97.8 for Philadelphia. I think this is just what this team's going to be here as we move forward. And for Milwaukee, like as you kind of mentioned, these are two really good wins coming out of the break. I think when you're able to go into Philadelphia, take care of business the way that you should against a lowly 76ers team is currently constructed, that's a positive. And the defensive effort and, guys, the fact that it looked like maybe they were going to let go of the rope against Minnesota on Friday night, but ultimately kind of hunkered down and got a really big win on the road against the Timberwolves. So I think you like what you see. Now it's two games, right? Two wins, two covers. Let's see if they can continue this as the second worst cover team in the NBA as we move forward. But no better way to start the second half here for Milwaukee than what they've done in the first two contests.
Mavs been playing well. We see that win streak come to an end with a 20-point loss on the road at the Pacers. And what do you get the big scoring night from Luka. You get the big scoring night from Kyrie, but then you give up the 133. We know that that has been something that we have been talking about with this Mavs team all season long is, hey, yeah, they got two of the best scorers, but they can't stop anybody else from scoring. Is this just, hey, listen, it's a blip because they have been playing a little bit better defense. Are you worried at all here about like, okay, see, they're back to the same old Mavs? Or you're like, you know, whatever. Some nights you're going to go out and you're going to give up 133.
Yeah, I think this is just a quintessential Mavericks game, right? Like you said, the upside on offense is incredible when you have Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic out there. And the reason why they had gone on that win streak prior was that Kyrie Irving came back healthy, and then all of a sudden they rip off seven consecutive wins. They cover six of those. And so, like, I think this is just what the Mavericks are going to be, which is why, in the grand scheme of things, I think you have questions as to whether or not they can actually win an NBA title. I think they can beat any team in a best-of-seven series, any single one of them, because they're so good on offense. But can they win four is the real question. When you're playing defense in that way, and your objective almost every single game is outscore your opponents. They've got some decent defensive pieces, but nowhere near enough in which you're going to be able to play consistently on that end of the floor to win multiple best of seven. So if they get into the first round, let's say they're the seventh seed or whatever it is, could they spring an upset over Oklahoma City or Minnesota, whoever they get in that first round? I think absolutely. But then will they be able to do that consistently is the real question. I think they can't. So I think they're a danger on any given night. But in terms of the big picture, I think last night was a perfect example, Matt, where sometimes you're going to go out and you're going to get burned by guys like Andrew Nembhard, who looked really good in limited action and everything else. So I think that's kind of the short side here for the Dallas Mavericks.
What do you make of this Pelicans team? They let the Bulls come in, beat them last night, you know, and you just see this team that at points you go, wow, there's something there. And then there's other times, and you look like last night where they let the Bulls come into their home court and beat them up a little bit. Are they, we always do the contender pretender thing. Are they just pretenders?
I don't know. So this is the one team that I have, and I'm looking right now because I wanted to get this right. So, like, they're a team that right now is eighth in net rating and non-garbage time, seventh in defense. Like, and those are two generally good indicators that you're going to be a good team. But the problem with this squad this year, guys, is they're right around average on offense, and that shouldn't be the case. You know, one of the upsides of having your trio of CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, and just Zion Williamson in general was that you're supposed to be an overtly efficient offense, and this was supposed to help. You're supposed to be able to pressure the rim. You're supposed to be able to cause cause issues, get to the foul line, dominate on the glass. And that just hasn't really been the case. One of their big issues, they turn the ball over a lot on nearly 14% of their offensive possessions. That's going to kill you in terms of efficiency. So I think, Matt, this is one team that I haven't been able to get my read on because they're floating around a five seed. There are some statistics that show you that they're a really good club. And then you go out and you get a performance like that yesterday and you realize, oh, this is why they're just floating around a five seed and not showing any consistency. So I would agree with the sentiment. Like, I'm not sure what to do with them just because I think that they have these small issues that are ultimately going to hold them back. I think we're kind of this year, I don't want to jinx it. I think for this season, we're kind of done asking the question, will Zion Williamson be healthy? He's shown that he's going to at least be healthy and be there for a minute. It's just, are you going to get things together on the offensive end? And through about, what are we talking about now? 58, 60 games, it has shown at the very least that you're going to be an average offense. And in today's NBA, that can't carry you very far.
So we have now seen Jokic move after the monster game last night to minus 160 in the MVP market. Let's say somebody has been an NFL bettor, NFL season's over, they're parachuting in, they want to get in an MVP ticket. They're not going to put $160 down to win 100. They want to put 100 down and win more money than they put down. JVT, where should their money go? Is it SGA at 250? Is it Luka at 650? Is it Giannis at 14? What do you think here if someone wants to come in and get a nice little ticket to sweat for the rest of the season?
So I think at this point, and I'll say this, like, because this is the point where, you know, with every fart in the wind, the odds are going to move, right, for most valuable player. Like, no matter what's going to happen, you're going to see some sort of an adjustment. And I would say for voters and in general, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the other day effectively eliminated Kawhi Leonard from the conversation, right? Because they go where they host the Clippers, they blow them out, and I think a lot of people are going to, okay, we're done with Kawhi Leonard. And I think that's kind of fair. So I think right now you're looking at a 2.5 horse race, and I say a half because Luka does have the counting stats, but I don't know if they're going to win enough for him to get this. Guys, at this point right now, I'm sitting and staring at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at plus 250 to potentially win this award. They could still win the number one seed in the Western Conference. He is absolutely incredible on both ends. I think he still leads the league in steals per game. He's obviously incredible with his efficiency numbers and his scoring. And if they end up winning a top seed in the West, be it 1 or 2 and finish ahead of Denver, that could make the difference here for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And at the very least, I think the gap between him and Nikola Jokic is not as far as the market would indicate. I think what's happened here is we get the most recent straw poll a couple of weeks back that has Jokic with a, what was it, like 60, 67 votes out of 100, whatever it was. And so the market uses that as a placeholder until we get the next one. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a very realistic shot at winning this, given how good he is, how much he is used, what he has done for a team that could win the West, and especially a plus 250 or better. I think that's where you're going. And I'm going to add Shai here to the portfolio because I think he's the one that's ultimately going to win this award. I think he deserves it at this point right now.
Short slate tonight, JVT, anything in your account?
Yes, the Grizzlies money line plus 105. Article is about to go up on the website of Eason.com, so you can check out the write up there too with the other games as well. But look, guys, Brooklyn 1-7 straight up, 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 games. Latest melting down against the Timberwolves on Saturday night when they had I think 0.85 points per possession in the second half. They lose despite leading at halftime as an 8.5-9 point underdog. This team stinks, guys. If you're looking at it larger sample size, how about this? Nets 8-25 straight up, 8-24-1 against the spread in the last 33 games. They've been abysmal, and the market's been kind of slow on really adjusting to this team and how bad it has been from a power rating standpoint. And I think you can make, he's not going to win it. You can make a sick case for Taylor Jenkins to win coach of the year because he has had this Memphis team playing really hard, especially on the defensive end. They come into today, guys, despite the fact that they have already clinched the under on their win total, that they're one of the worst teams record-wise, 8th in defensive efficiency. They're playing really hard on that end of the floor. They are 10-5 against the spread in their last 15 games, just in much better form, especially at home. So I took Grizzlies money line. I'm going to take my chance with a better coach team, at least playing really hard defense and not giving up on a night-to-night basis, other than Brooklyn, which has looked like an absolute nightmare. Firing Jacque Vaughn. Kevin Ollie doesn't really look like he's going to be the guy either through a couple of games. It's been a nightmare for Brooklyn. I'll take my chances with the home underdog tonight.
JBT, 20 seconds. They're trying to ban storming the court. Your opinion?
I think that Phil Pasky tried to try to take a shot at a fan right before he got hurt. So I think, no, just kidding. Just don't make rules that you can't do it if you're favored. How about that? Let's do that because you were favored to win the game. Come on.
There's Kelly, you know, I'll get your opinion here on the other side here, but it's the deal, you weren't supposed to do it anyway. Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, we're going to ban it. Like, I thought it was, what, it already banned? Like, what do you mean?
I like the idea of video boards as you enter the arena, though. You are favored tonight. Do not storm the court.
Court storming game or not, you know, like, you got to figure it out. Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
We'll talk about that on the other side as well as some Broncos news that's coming out. It is a numbers game here on a Monday. We'll be right back.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you have not already, one of the best things that you can do is head on over to VSiN.com/newsletter. It is absolutely free to go in and have Bill 80 come in your inbox every single morning with not only what happened in the night in sports before, but also guide you to what is happening the day of over on VSiN.com. He will point out different articles. He will point out whenever we release new betting guides, release new information, all of this. And again, it's absolutely free and it shows up in your inbox. I wake up to it every single morning, Kelly Bidlin, open it up, and there's just this little bit of warmth and goodness there from Bill AD, from his little hands to typing on the computer to your eyeballs.
I get three of them. I don't know why I get three of them, but I get three of them.
Did you sign up with three different addresses thinking they were, what happened to you?
I have a feeling that Bill and I have been just working together long enough that different email addresses and stuff like that have all been combined into one, and I get three emails every morning.
Well, guess what? Do you open all three?
No,
you better do that because they do the open rate on these newsletters and stuff. Like, you know, you can't even get three of them and then only open one.
Is that actually true?
You're hurting the open rate. Yeah, you got to at least open the three or whatever.
Sorry,
yeah.
Bill, I'll start opening all three.
They get reports of these things. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'll definitely delete two of three.
Oh, man, what are you doing? You're hurting Bill's open rate on these things.
Oh, man, sorry, Bill.
Bill, if you're watching, take that out of Kelly's paycheck, man.
Seriously, you rest the week off. All right.
This is a fine. Get him, fine him like he's storming the court or whatever with all of this. All right, let's talk some NHL with my friend and yours, Jay Conn. Jay, it has been such a long time. People can follow you over on the Point of the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM at JayHon4 on the Twitter machine as well. Buddy, I love talking the puck with you.
Matt, it's great to talk to you again, you and Kelly. And I was telling Kelly before we jumped on here, I might have to blindly tail your golf picks this weekend. What are we calling it? The Cognizant Classic or something now?
It is.
It's going to be the Honda to me for a couple of years. But yeah, whatever you're playing this week, Matt, I think I might have to play after you're 1-2.
We have to go in and look up these sponsors as well and figure out. We're going to go back 2 weeks here real quick before we get to the hockey, Kelly.
I did this one earlier this morning.
The Chubb. We looked up the Chubb Classic, and Chubb is actually insurance, which we're really shocked that the Chubb is insurance. So what is Cognizant here?
It is an American multinational information technology services and consulting company.
Oh, that is obviously a bunch of fancy. That is a bunch of fancy words that told me nothing about what that company does. Yeah, they're like, we don't sell you anything. We just have to like spend this money or they take it away from us.
Info and tech, man. They're going to consult you on it. Okay.
There it is. I need a ton of that. So let me go in. They'd be like, you do not have the money to afford us. You cannot afford us at all. All right, Jake, we're four games over on the ice tonight. Let's start with the first puck drop that's coming to you about 7:05 Eastern, which is the Ottawa Senators and the Washington Capitals. This is currently sitting -135 for the Senators on the road, +114 at DraftKings Sportsbook on the Capitals at home as underdogs. 6.5 is our total. What can people expect here in this one?
The battle for the nation's capitals here, guys, right? So if anybody's into any sort of geography, there you go. That's what we're watching for tonight. But it's actually funny when I look at this line. Look, Washington is not a team I've been backing almost at all this season. I'm really not a believer in the Caps. I think they're old. I think they're on the way out. Although we have seen a bit of a resurgence from Alex Ovechkin since the All-Star break, which has been good. It was a real slow season for him. And, you know, his chase for Gretzky's record over the next couple of years is going to be fun to watch. Be more fun to watch if he was playing at a decently high level, which he sort of is now. So it's good to see. This is kind of the first time I've looked at a Capitals price and actually thought, you know what, there might be some value here. The line has actually shifted in Ottawa's direction. They were a smaller favorite earlier this morning. So money has come in on the Sens. I'll be on the Capitals here as a home dog, guys. I just think they're playing decent enough to keep this game close. And look, Ottawa is just the team that when they're a favorite, I fade them because they can lose to anybody in the league. When they're an underdog, Ottawa becomes very interesting because I think they can actually beat any team in the league. So they're very inconsistent when it comes to that. Not a team I would love backing as a road favorite. So I'm going to go with the Caps here on home ice.
Let's head to the second game, 8:05 Eastern, Islanders and the Stars. Stars are -170 home favorites here in this one, +142 Islanders on the road. 6 is our total here in this one. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I think if you could find a 6.5 for a fair price on the under, this is where I would go with this game, guys. I don't trust the Islanders enough to back them. I know it's a decent price for them. I think the Stars are so deep. I think to me, honestly, they're a team I'm looking to back come playoff time, just because I think they're built to win playoff rounds, to win games in the playoffs. And that's kind of how they built their team. They're going with a deep four line attack. So I trust Dallas in this spot on home ice. To get it done. They look pretty good in their last handful of games as well, but I think they'll keep it tighter. The only problem is the Islanders have been very loose this year, not the Islanders teams we've been used to in previous years, where it's been the complete opposite. They actually tend to play lower scoring games. It's been a lot more high event hockey games for the Islanders this year, but I think on the road here, they probably try to tighten things up a little bit, try to win a lower scoring game. So under 6.5, if you could find a decent number at that price.
9:30 Eastern, Kings and the Oilers. Oilers minus 155 home favorites over the Kings, plus 130 for the Kings on the road. 6.5 is the total there in that one. Jake, what we got?
Yeah, I think we're getting a short price on the Oilers here, guys, because they have lost a few games in a row. They went on an unbelievable win streak throughout the month of January, and they couldn't lose to anybody. Now, when you looked at that win streak, the quality of competition maybe wasn't the greatest. They were beating up on the bottom of the league for the most part. And since then, they've been tested by more of the top teams in the league, and ultimately, they've come up short in some of those games. So maybe they're finding their level a little bit. They just lost to their rivals, the Calgary Flames, in the Battle of Alberta over the weekend. So I think you're going to get a ticked off Oilers team here. They don't want to leak oil for too long. No pun intended there. And this is a Kings team they're very familiar with. They've actually eliminated the Kings the last 2 years in the playoffs. So at this price on home ice, I'm going with the Oilers to end this losing streak. If you want to get a little plus money, I think you could look towards the puck line. Maybe you just look towards the Oilers to win this game in regulation. You don't have to sweat that empty netter at the end of the game. But I like Edmonton to get it done tonight on home ice.
Jake, puns are always welcome here on a numbers game, so don't worry about it, buddy. Leaking oil there, those Oilers. We're talking to Jake Hahn, co-host of The Point and Fantasy Hockey Show over on Sirius XM. Our fourth and final game here on the ice tonight, 10:05 Eastern, Bruins and the Kraken. We got the Bruins at minus 142 on the road as favorites, plus 120 for Seattle at home as underdogs. A 5.5 total here in this one.
This is an interesting game, guys, because as you know, Boston has been probably the most consistent regular season team over the last couple of years. We know what they did last year, and this year, you know, maybe not quite to the level that they did last season, but they've still been a real solid regular season team, ready to play most nights. But for whatever reason, Seattle seems to play them very tough, whether it's in Boston or it's in Seattle. This is just a matchup that it seems like the Kraken like. Now, the sample size is relatively small, but it does make me lean a little bit towards the Kraken here at plus money. On home ice, they're just a deep team, and I think they can match up with Boston a little better. Lines 2, 3, and 4. The Bruins clearly have the high end talent, the guys that are, you know, true goal scorers in this league, like a David Pastrnak. But I think Seattle matches up pretty well against them, and they got to get a move on if they want to make the playoffs. So I think you see a good Kraken team. One prop I think to look out for in this game, if you're looking for a bit more of a long shot, guys, would actually be the regulation draw. So for this game to go to overtime, Boston's been to overtime 5 straight games in 6 of their last 7 right now, which is another reason why I'm not really rushing to back them as a road favorite, because even if they're winning games, they're really having to work to do it right now. So I think backing them at this price on the road, the way that they're playing, how often they're going to overtime right now, I think is a little bit too much for me. So I'd either go Seattle on home ice as a dog, or I'd maybe sprinkle a little bit on that regulation draw, just because you get two interconference teams. Sometimes when it's tied in the third period, they say, hey, I'll take a point, you take a point, we'll play for the extra point, no team.
All right, Jake, we got about 90 seconds. Looking here, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different teams at 10-1 or shorter to win the championship. A big, big kind of grouping there with all of this. Is there any of these teams that stands out to you? And is there any of these teams that you actually don't like of the short shots?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it's a debate that we've been having really all season. I've been fascinated by this market, guys, because we haven't really seen anybody, you know, get above that 7-1 range, and nobody really drops below the 14-1 range. So I think the odds makers are basically telling you, we think all these teams are good. We just don't think anybody's significantly better than anybody else or significantly worse than anybody else. I know a lot of people were probably jumping on some Oilers tickets when they were starting to go on their run and turn that season around. I still have question marks about them come playoff time. When they face stiffer competition, can they really match up? You know, they can slow down McDavid and Draisaitl, let the other players beat them. I mentioned Dallas earlier in this hit, guys. The Stars are a team, I think, that they're just deep. And I feel like they're going to add a piece before the deadline, probably a defenseman. They're a team I'd be looking to back out of that crop. It's a messy mix of teams, and you could really make a strong case for a lot of them. But I think right now, Dallas is the one that is impressing me most and just looking like a team that's built to go on a very, very long playoff run this year.
Well, Jake, it's on you, buddy, because I'm going to put in a Stars ticket as soon as we go to break, and that is all on you, the pressure of getting the Stars okay. home. I'm telling you, it's going to be on you.
I don't
you.
Feel bad. You've got all this extra money in your pocket from the so yeah, I won't feel bad if it loses.
Yeah, you got to get Austin Stars. Matthews home and the Stars now, Jake. No pressure. No
Dallas
pressure.
Stars. There it is. Okay. Jake Hahn, you can find him over on SiriusXM Fantasy Hockey Show and The Point as well. Thanks for the time, buddy. Do appreciate right. it as always.
Great chat with you, boys.
When we come back, let's talk a little NFL draft position, Kelly. That's always fun. These markets continue to pop up here on a numbers game.